Please stand together with me. Please be seated. Well, thank you for coming. The Lord has blessed with a gorgeous day and also many wonderful family and friends and loved ones who have come to honor Bethany and Jeff today. Thank you for coming. We apologize for a little bit of a delay, but there were a couple things we had to make sure were just right. And they are. So thank you for that. The ceremony today, once we came out, I don't know if you have noticed this or not, but I wanted to point out that the first song was not part of the processional. It was Our Great Savior that Ariel played. And that was the desire of the bride and groom, that it would point to Jesus Christ. And we heartily affirmed that. So we welcome you to the wedding. Thank you for coming. There are some flash photography happening, but we're asking that only the photographer could do that. If you could, please refrain from that. And also, if you had a cell phone or anything else that might ring, it'd be awesome if you could turn that off for us, because this won't take a real long time, and that would be a distraction, of course. I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm today. I hope that you know it, maybe even by heart. I have a few comments about this psalm as we begin our time together. The scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The first five words of this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Two words there I'd like to focus on for a moment. The first one is the word Lord. The second, shepherd. Who is this one called the Lord? Awesome. You got it right. Who is this one called Shepherd? Got that right, too, I think. I don't know. Yeah. That's a great answer from the child's perspective, and we can't do any better than that. But how do we know that? What's the authority for believing that Jesus is the Lord and Shepherd? Well, Jesus himself is. He's the authority. For later on, way later, thousands of years later, maybe not thousands, 1,500 years later or so, that's off the top of my head, it wouldn't be quite that long either. But Jesus said this. He said, I am the Good Shepherd. And he went on when he said that. He didn't just say, I'm the Good Shepherd. He said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's think about that for a minute. I don't know if there's any shepherds here. If there are, there aren't any shepherds here like we're there. Because today, a shepherd would maybe have some sheep or maybe a lot of sheep, but it would be more of a ranch or more of a farm, I think. But that kind of time, as you probably know, it would be very agricultural. The person who would be the shepherd would actually live with the sheep. The idea that the shepherd would give his life for the sheep, that doesn't make any sense. The shepherd, then, would not live for the sheep. The sheep live for the shepherd. The sheep give to the shepherd. The sheep are for the shepherd. I mean, if the sheep don't pay, you get rid of them, right? So when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That is a tremendous declaration, if it's true, to think, okay, so there's a shepherd who is going to say the sheep are so important that I'll give my life for them. Well, you know where I'm going with this, I'm sure. But there's a number of things that we learn from that when Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. We learn that Jesus Christ is good. He's holy, he's righteous, he's pure, he's perfect. And I don't want to go too far there, but just think about that and go on in your own thinking about the goodness of God. And let us declare with great enthusiasm and confidence that there is a God, the one true and living God, and that that God is good. He's not a bully. He's not mean. He does hate sin, but he doesn't hate sinners. He's a good God. And he hates sin just like the parents of this sweet little Grace who walked in with the Here Comes the Bride sign. God hates sin just like the parents of this little girl would hate something that would hurt that little girl. The focus is not hating that which would harm. The focus is on protecting, loving, caring for this other one. Any love that doesn't rise to the level of protecting the loved one is not much love at all. And God is good. And God hates that which will hurt us. We are not very much like him, though. We're really not all that good. We tend to be kind of inconsistent. We fail. The Bible calls it sin. And that's a problem. But God is good. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He cares, he loves, he provides, he protects, he takes care of the sheep, and he leads. And we read there in the psalm about how he leads by the still waters and a variety of other things. And so one thing we learn about that for us is since we're the sheep and he's the shepherd, since he is good and since he leads, then we have a choice. It's a pretty basic choice, but the choice is this. Either we follow him or we don't. He is leading. Either we say, he's good, I'm going to trust him, I'm going to do what he says. Or we say, nope, I'm going to do it my own way. Our choice. We all have that choice. But he's good, and he's a shepherd. And then the third idea is this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He said of himself that he was going to give his life for the sheep. Now this is tomorrow's Palm Sunday. A week from tomorrow is Easter. And so this is the week where Jesus Christ was crucified. He was killed, he was executed, he was murdered. Murdered is a Bible word. And yet he very clearly said, "No man taketh my life from me. I give it up of myself. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. None of us can say that. None of us can say that. You might say, well, I could say I can take my life. Yeah, but you can't take it again. We don't have that much control. But Jesus Christ did. So why, if he had that kind of authority, that kind of power, why did he give his life for the sheep? Do you ever think about that? Why did Jesus die? Why did he let them kill him? Why didn't he, as he himself said, I could call legions, thousands of angels to deliver me. Why did he die? Well, if you know the answer, and it has to make a smile come to your face. Why did he die? It wasn't because he had to. It wasn't because there was some sort of a duty. It wasn't because it was outside of his control or will. It wasn't because he was overpowered. It was not because he's a martyr. Jesus died because he loves you. Every one of us. God loves you. Whoever you are, whatever your background, if you've been married or not, if you've been married multiple times or not, if you have failed, if you know, some folks come here. I come here. I have a 35-year marriage and an awesome wife. And I come here and it's like, yes, that's how I got started. And but I suppose there are probably folks here that this at some level is bittersweet for you because you go back and remember when you got married and you didn't live happily ever after. And a wedding is a time of sadness for you. Well, let me tell you. God loves you right where you are, right how you are, and you can love him back. Jesus gave his life. He did it for the sheep. He rose from the dead, and he is the only way to be saved, to be delivered, to be rescued from our sin. We all have a problem. The problem's not God. The problem's sin. We all need a solution. There's only one. There's all kinds of ways that we can reform, but all that's outside. On the inside, we must have a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior. And Jeff and Bethany want you to know him. And so do I. And if you don't know him, I trust that you will be saved today. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? Can you say that and mean it? Is it true? The Lord is my shepherd, not our shepherd. There's a sense in which it's true that he's our shepherd. But there's another sense in which either he is or is not your personal shepherd. That's up to you. He wants you. There was a day when this man said to this woman, I think, somehow how it worked out, but I don't know the words. But there was a time where he said to her, will you marry me? The ball was in her court. She said yes. Jesus is saying, will you trust me? Ball's in your court. They have trusted him as personal Savior. You can too. Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? If not, you can learn more about that today, and I can help you, and they can help you, and we can give you literature, and you can pray right while I pray. I'll pray in just a moment, and then we'll have some special music. But you can pray, and you just call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I see right now, in a way I never did, that you're the shepherd and I'm the sheep. And instead of saying yes to you, there's been a whole lot of ways that I've said no to you. And I need forgiveness for that. And I believe that you died and rose from the grave to do just that forgiveness. Forgive me. Save me. And then you can grow and learn more about what it really means to be a Bible Christian. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus Christ is indeed the shepherd, the only shepherd, the loving shepherd. I thank you that I, as a pastor, have this wonderful opportunity to preside in a wedding where the groom and the bride both have a sterling profession of faith. There's no doubt in my mind of their love for you and for each other. They want to do the right thing. And I thank you for that. I pray that if there are any here who are not yet trusting Christ, that today they would, and they would present that testimony, that profession of faith to Jeff and Bethany as a wedding gift in some sense of saying, I got saved, I trusted Christ, I was forgiven at your wedding. And now for the wedding. Lord, we pray for this couple. Thank you for them. Thank you that they are doing this the right way, the Bible way. They want to be a Christian home and a Christian marriage. We pray for your guidance upon them as they present themselves to you and to each other before all these witnesses. You have promised what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so we believe that you preside here because you, as they make a promise to each other, depending upon you, that you will join them together. And so we look forward to your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing in this world I see.
So we have come here today to join together Jeff and Bethany in marriage. The Bible declares that marriage is honorable, but the Bible warns that no marriage should be entered into lightly or without serious consideration. Every marriage should begin reverently and thoughtfully and in the fear of God. So if anyone here can show just cause why Jeff and Bethany may not biblically be joined together, please speak now or forever hold your peace. Jeff and Bethany, I require and charge you both, as you will answer at the judgment seat of Christ, that if either of you know any reason why you may not be biblically joined together as husband and wife, that you confess it now. Of course, that's not the first time we have discussed this issue. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and
I. Amen. We made it. So far, so good. And he showed up. You said that he would last Sunday, and he did. Praise the Lord. So, Bethany, I want to challenge you from a verse in the Scriptures, Ephesians 5:33. God declares, "The wife, see that she reverence her husband." God calls upon you to a determined and practiced attitude of respect for Jeff. Every bride respects her groom. But I would have to say that it is a rare wife who consistently practices respecting her husband. It's not automatic. It's not easy. It can't be done apart from God's grace. The good news is God is for you. He'll never leave you down, though we sometimes will leave him down. Now, think about it. Will our culture help you with this? No way. To be a bride in the biblical sense today is so far away from what American culture teaches to a lady. Now, you will be continually bombarded, and I don't speak this from my personal experience, obviously, because I have a wife, three daughters, and a daughter-in-law, but you'll be continually bombarded to be pressed into the mold of a different kind of lady than one that would consistently respect her husband. The fact is, Jeff knows he will not always deserve your respect. He will make mistakes. He will fail. You will find out more, I think, in the future than even now, that he is thoroughly human, and so he will fail. He'll fail you. It'll hurt him. But your consistent respect will go much further toward building your marriage than any type of demand or nagging or whining or manipulating. God does not say to respect Jeff because he does not love you. God says to respect Jeff because God does love you and wants the very best for you. And God will use your respect. And I can say this from experience. God will use your respect to greatly humble him and call him to himself. And that's what you want the most. If God changes him, he shall be changed. And if you change him, he really won't. So rise above circumstances. Seek to always come back to this very basic building block for every wife. Respect your husband. You are a beautiful bride. God bless you. Now, Jeff, the same verse, Ephesians 5:33, that teaches Bethany to respect you has a word for you also. It's the last verse in Ephesians chapter 5. When we were in the room before we came out, Jeff asked me if I could read a passage of Scripture to him. And, of course, I was ready. But he had a passage he wanted me to read. It was way back in Genesis chapter 2, where God created Eve. And we read it together. Here is a man who loves the Lord. Here is the man who loves the Word of God. The verse, Ephesians 5:33, which speaks to your wife, also speaks to you when it says this. Let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife even as himself. God also says earlier in that chapter, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I know you love Bethany. That has been evident to me and others for some time, my good brother. And that is wonderful. But I would say again that your love will need to be nurtured. The love you have for her now is simply not enough. It's great for today, but it's not enough for the future. You can't coast or your marriage will decline. You'll have to pour it on. The temptation will be for your love to lessen, to grow cold, to become common, to lose the excitement. It is your role to keep it at a high level. Many a husband has taken his wife for granted. Don't do it. Work at loving your wife every day. Showing your love every day. Spoil her. Cherish her. She's smiling. Date her. Surprise her. Adore her. Provide for her. Protect her. These are the means of love. And most importantly, lead her to the source of your love. Just as Bethany will not be able to consistently respect you without the grace of God, so you will not be able to consistently love her. She's lovely today. I know you love her. She's very lovable. But she'll have a bad day somewhere along the line. You'll need the grace of God to love her. So, of all things, and most importantly, lead her to the source of your love. Be her spiritual leader. God bless you, my brother. Jeff, will you have Bethany to be your wife and to live together according to the teaching of God's Word? Will you love her, comfort her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health? And will you forsake all other women and keep yourself only for her as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Amen. Bethany, will you have Jeff to be your husband and to live together according to the teaching of God's Word? Will you follow him, love him, honor him, and keep him in sickness and in health? Will you forsake all other men and keep yourself only for him as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Amen. You can give your flowers and face each other for the vow. Jeff, if you will repeat after me. I, Jeff, receive you, Bethany.
I, Jeff, receive you, Bethany.
As my wife.
As my wife.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I will be with you.
I will be with you.
For better and for worse.
For better and for worse.
For richer and for poorer.
For richer and for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I will love and cherish you.
I will love and cherish you.
According to God's word.
According to God's word.
Until death parts us.
Until death parts us.
And I promise.
And I promise.
That I will be faithful to you.
That I will be faithful to you.
Amen. Bethany, if you would repeat after me. I, Bethany, receive you, Jeff.
I, Bethany, receive you, Jeff.
As my husband.
As my husband.
From this day forward. I will follow you.
I will follow you.
For better and for worse.
For better and for worse.
For richer and for poorer.
For richer and for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I will love and cherish you. According to God's word.
According to God's word.
Until death parts us.
Until death parts us.
And I promise.
And I promise.
That I will be faithful to you.
That I will be faithful to you.
Amen. Jeff, you may put the ring on Bethany's finger. And repeat after me. As a promise.
As a promise.
And in token of the vows.
And in token of the vows.
We have made to each other.
We have made to each other.
With this ring.
With this ring.
I marry you, Bethany.
I marry you, Bethany.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Bethany, you may put the ring on Jeff's finger. And repeat after me, as a promise.
As a promise.
And in token of the vows.
And in token of the vows.
We have made to each other.
We have made to each other.
With this ring.
With this ring.
I marry you, Jeff.
I marry you, Jeff.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And bow with me together and we will pray. Father in heaven, we know you have more than witnessed these vows. That's all we can do. But more than witness, we believe that you are present and active and very much accounted for. For you have promised that when, in dependence upon you and in the face of your people, people make a lifelong promise according to the scriptures to each other, that you join them together. It couldn't be more simple nor sublime. We thank you today for marriage, Christian marriage, godly marriage. I thank you that we are very confident that you created marriage not to hurt anyone, but rather that we would flourish, that we would find the joy of relationship. That we would find that two are better than one. Now I pray for Jeff, and we ask that as I have challenged him to love Bethany, depending upon you, that he would always, every day, find your love to be more than sufficient, and may that be the source of his loving of his wife. And I pray for Bethany that she may every day find that her worship and reverence and respect for you, she can then as well respect the one that you created for her. May you bless this marriage. We pray that they would always fear and love you and serve you. We pray that they would always be very active in a good Bible preaching church. We pray that if you bless them with children, that you would give them in this very challenging day the skill, the wisdom, the determination to fight every possible way that they can to influence their children for the glory of Jesus Christ, so that their children would rise up and call them blessed, so they would have the joy of their children being their greatest blessings and trophies apart from you, rather than their greatest heartaches, as is so very often the case in our struggling time. And so we pray for your blessing. We pray your blessing upon this marriage. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may light the candles.
I could not do without thee, O Savior of the lost, whose precious blood redeemed me at such tremendous cost. Thy righteousness, thy pardon, thy precious blood must be my only hope and comfort, my glory and my plea. I could not do without thee. I cannot stand alone. I have no strength or goodness, no wisdom of my own. But thou, beloved Savior, art all in all to me, and weakness will be power if leaning hard on thee. I could not do
Jeff and Bethany have made these vows before God and this church. I do now, by the authority of God and His holy word, declare that Jeff and Bethany are husband and wife. Jeff and Bethany, in the eyes of God, you are no longer two, but one. I charge you with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Jeff, you may kiss your wife. Seems a little anticlimactic, but it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you for the very first time Mr. and Mrs. Jeff Early.